reason, for he was very rich. This man had it all, at least from the world's point of view. He was a ruler. He had power. He had money. He'd risen at a very young age to the top. And yet he knew something was missing. But he didn't want to give up what he had and follow Jesus. And he was sad. He was sad. Notice the reaction. And when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful. He said, "How heartily shall they that have the riches enter into the kingdom of God?" This is why it's such a sad verse, because even Jesus was sorrowful. This man was very close. This man desired eternal life. This man knew he was missing something. And yet he couldn't take the final step. And Jesus says that riches, the goods of this world and the success of this world, keep people away from the kingdom of God. Keep people away from eternal life. Because they value that more than they value eternal life. Eternity is a long time. My mind gets boggled when I start thinking about how long it is. And yet people are so wrapped up in this life, which is rather short, they forget about eternal life. He came originally thinking about eternal life. He came originally to Jesus thinking about how long eternity was and desiring that. And yet, the temporal things of this life so occupied him, so controlled him, that he was unwilling to give those up to have eternal life. And they, in verse 26, "And they that heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?'" Who then can be saved? That's a great question. If riches and wealth and success in this world keep you away from God, who can be saved? And Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." He wants us to know who can be saved. That it's not the working of men alone, it's the working of God. God reaches out. We heard a testimony, a great testimony last night, of how many times God reached out. Put a Bible in a hotel room so it could be read. God reaches out again and again. Now, if the story was to end here, it'd be a rather sad story. But Luke wants to tell us more. And so look over at the 19th chapter, if you would. And Luke's going to tell us about someone who's rich that comes to Jesus. He's going to tell us about someone who's rich who isn't kept away from Jesus. And where riches of this world means nothing to him, because he realizes that eternity is where the value lies. Verse 1, "And Jesus entered in and passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." The publicans were tax collectors. Zacchaeus was very successful at collecting taxes. Unfortunately, he was an outcast from the rest of the Jews. And the reason he was an outcast from the rest of the Jews, because the Jews hated the Romans. And they hated anyone who worked for the Romans. And they particularly hated those who collected the taxes for the Romans. And Zacchaeus was a head tax collector. And so they hated him, and they considered him a publican. As you go through Luke, one of the things that we often see is they say that Jesus ate with sinners and that Jesus kept company with sinners. And one of the things that you can tell is that there was two basic classes of people in Luke. And one were sinners, and one were those who considered themselves not to be sinners. In Luke 7, it talks about the woman who comes in and washes the feet of Jesus and dries with her tears and then dries his feet with the hairs of his head. And the Pharisee looking on says if Jesus knew who this woman was, he wouldn't allow her to do that. And Jesus reads his mind and tells a story about love. Everyone recognized a woman as a sinner. How did they do that? Because in Jewish society, if you went to the synagogue, you were considered not to be a sinner. And if you'd been cast out or weren't allowed to go to the synagogue, then you were a sinner. And you were outside the social circles and you were condemned. And no one would associate with you and no one would talk to you. Because you weren't part of the synagogue and you weren't part of the religion of the time. And Jesus continually reaches out. And so we come to this man, Zacchaeus, and he's rich. He's chief among the tax collectors. He has everything going for him. And he seeks Jesus also. So we have two seekers, and they're both rich. And they've both risen to the pinnacle of their profession. And they both know that something's missing. One's religious and one's not religious. And Luke wants to show us the two of them together. And so then he tells us about Zacchaeus, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. You ever been in a crowd where there is no platform and you're all standing on level ground? I sometimes have an advantage because I'm tall enough to see over other people's heads. My wife, on the other hand, is a little bit shorter, and she has difficulty seeing if we're in the back. Well, Zacchaeus is in the back of a large crowd that's following Jesus, and he can't see because the Bible tells us he's short. And so what does he do? Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He's pretty determined. He wants to see what the excitement is about. The news of Jesus' healing, the news of Jesus' miracles, the news of Jesus had preceded him, and they're in Jericho. Jericho's about 60 miles directly down from Jerusalem, down in the valley. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for our sins. And Zacchaeus wants to see him. And Zacchaeus won't be stopped. And so Zacchaeus climbs a tree. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. He was in a sycamore tree. Could be he was hiding. It could be that he thought no one would see him and his interest in the Savior. But the Savior knew he was there. One of the interesting things as you read through Luke, that the sinners remain unnamed, and those that come to Jesus Christ in faith are named. You had that in the case of the rich man and Lazarus. And we have the case here with Zacchaeus and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler is unnamed. Zacchaeus is named because the Lord knows the name of those who are his. And he calls him by name, and he calls Zacchaeus by name, and he tells him to come down and make haste, come down, and for today I must abide in your house. And he uses a term here that means to lodge. He's going to spend the night. He's just not going to go take a meal. He's just not going to go spend a few minutes with him. He's going to go spend the night with him. And he lets Zacchaeus know that he knows Zacchaeus. Notice what it says. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. We've been talking a lot about that. Joy. Happiness. What's coming in the new year? Here this man was seeking Jesus and he finds him. And what does he have? Joy. We've talked a lot about that. true joy is in Jesus Christ. There is nothing else. One of the greatest things about knowing Jesus is you have joy. One of the saddest things about not knowing Jesus is you will never know true joy. There will always be an emptiness. You'll always know that there's something more. You'll always know that there's something missing. And what is that? It's Jesus Christ. And those who have found Jesus Christ find completeness. In Galatians, it says we're complete in him. Because in fact, that hole has been filled. That part that's missing now is there. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. He was criticized throughout this book for associating with sinners. And that, verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore them fourfold. Notice the difference between the rich young ruler who's trusting in his riches and Zacchaeus who comes and trusts in the Lord, responds with joy, and now his riches mean nothing to him. Tax collectors, at least at this time, were known for taking a little extra here and there. And so he says that if I've cheated anyone, if I've taken more than I should have, if I padded my own money, I'm going to return it fourfold. And he says, and I'm going to give everything else to the poor. Now I will tell you, there's a huge difference between these two men. One came to the point where the riches meant absolutely nothing because he found the Savior. And one turns away from the Savior because in great sorrow, because his riches meant more to him than the Savior. Salvation starts with recognizing who Jesus Christ is, and he is the greatest thing that man can have. God loved us and gave his Son for us. And yet people reject his Son on a regular basis. They turn away from the gift of God. It's sometimes hard for me to believe that people reject a gift of such value. The rich young ruler did it, and he turned away sorrowful. He turned away sorrowful. Now, did Zacchaeus earn salvation by giving away his money? No, because notice he's already joyful before this ever happens. But one of the marks of a true Christian is obedience, because faith always produces obedience. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves, and he recognized that he had failed to do so. And so out of obedience, he loved his neighbors as himself by giving away everything he had. The very thing that the rich young ruler who claimed to love his neighbor as himself was unwilling to do. This sinner, who most likely had cheated people in their taxes, freely gives what he has because his heart had been changed by meeting the Lord Jesus. And in obedience, he gives up what he has. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. He didn't expect to inherit it. He wasn't entitled to it. He realized that it was by faith and faith alone that he could be a true son of Abraham. And salvation has come to his house, and there's proof that salvation has come because of his obedience and response to receiving salvation. I have people tell me, oh yeah, I'm saved. But it's hard to tell by the manner they live and their lack of obedience to the word of God. Because if you're truly saved, you want to honor Jesus Christ and what he asked to do. And then we come to the 10th verse. And I would suggest to you that the 10th verse is the very theme of Luke. And if you read and study Luke for very long, you see that this is a theme, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to seek and to save those that were lost. Seekers come to him, but he's seeking you. He was seeking Zacchaeus. He looked up in the tree and he knew exactly where Zacchaeus was. I would suggest to you that the thing that the rich young ruler lacked was his understanding that he was lost. He didn't understand that he had sinned against God, and a just God was going to hold him accountable for that sin. Let's look at earlier, if we could. In Luke 18, in verse 10. Let's start with verse 9. Notice how Luke places these stories in order so that we can understand what the Lord is teaching us. Verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Those who trust in themselves and despise others, they don't understand that they're just as lost as everyone else. And they think they're better than everyone else. And they think they're entitled to God's favor, and they're entitled to eternal life. And they sort of look down their nose, so to speak, at anyone who doesn't see it the way they see it. And they feel they're better than everyone else. And so he tells a parable or a story so that those who trusted in themselves and looked down on everyone else would understand. In verse 10, it tells a story. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. One a Pharisee who belonged to the synagogue, one who was most likely a ruler of the synagogue, one who was a big shot in the Jewish religion, and the other one who was an outcast, pushed away, despised, a sinner. And the Pharisee stood in verse 11 and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And I can just imagine he even pointed at the man that he considered so far beneath him and was a sinner. And here he stands before the Almighty God and he brags about how great he is. And he blows his own trumpet, and he boasts about his accomplishments as if God would be impressed with what he's done. And I think the rich young ruler was in the same boat. I think he was hoping that Jesus Christ would be impressed by his credentials. God looks on the heart. God isn't impressed by what we've accomplished in this world. Because God knows our heart. And he knows what we've done to accomplish those things. And he knows what we've done that's sin. And he knows who we are. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm so religious, it's amazing that I'm still on earth. Talk about bragging. He had it all, he thought. He'd done it all, he thought. But notice the publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. No bragging here, no entitlement, no I deserve eternal life. And what does he say? But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here was a man who recognized his true standing before God. He recognized that he needed God's mercy. And so again, we have two contrasts here. We have one calling for mercy and one saying he's entitled. one smiting his breast and not even lifting his eyes, and the other bragging about how great he is. And the Lord gives us our comment on this. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The one who smote his breast and called out for mercy and confessed that he was a sinner went down to his house justified, righteous before God. How can that be that a sinner can be righteous before God? Sometimes we get our values mixed up and we get things confused. And so we have stories here of people who come to Jesus Christ, come to God, believing they're righteous before God, fooling themselves, deceiving themselves. And yet we have people who are sinners such as Zacchaeus and this man in the temple who call out for mercy. And Jesus Christ says, they're the ones who are justified. They're the ones who are justified. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What's the one thing that the rich young ruler lacked? He lacked the fact that he didn't realize he was a sinner. He didn't realize he was a sinner standing for a guilty standing before God. He didn't realize that God was his judge. And he was being dishonest with himself. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost. He tells us earlier in Luke that those who are not sick do not need a physician, that he had come to heal those who are sick. If we don't realize that before God we're sinners, God can't do anything for us. If we don't call out to God for his mercy and recognize that we've sinned against the holy God, God can't do anything for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might be justified before God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took our place. And the punishment that we so rightly deserved, he took upon himself. But the reason why the rich young ruler, the reason why the Pharisees turned down God's free offer of salvation and eternal life was because they did not feel they needed it. They did not feel that they were sinners. They wanted to get to heaven on their own merit. But I want to tell you that the Bible's very clear on this. There will be no one in heaven on their own merit. I can't tell you how many people who tell me this. They say, well, God's a good God, so he's going to weigh things out, and I believe I've done more good than bad, and I'm going to earn my way to heaven. Well, I want to tell you that if one person makes it to heaven by earning their own ways, then the death and sacrifice of God's Son on Calvary was wasted. That God's free gift of his Son, for God so loved the world, as we see behind us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that gift of his Son was wasted because people could have made it on their own. I want to tell you that no one will make it because of their merit. No one will make it because of their success. No one will make it because of their money. There's only one way to have eternal life. And that's true, recognizing that you're a sinner and turning to Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's the only way, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And salvation comes to those who are lost. If you're not lost, if you don't realize you are lacking eternal life, then you're going to be going away sorrowful, like the rich young ruler. Because God's reaching out to you even today with the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, today, and we give you thanks. Father, we thank you that with you all things are possible. We thank you for these two stories side by side, one of the rich young ruler who goes away sorrowful, and then one of Zacchaeus, the rich sinner, who goes away joyfully. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus is so compassionate that when the rich young ruler goes away sorrowful, he, we're told, was also sorrowful. We're thankful, Father, that we read that you are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we would ask that no one would go from this meeting sorrowful because they've rejected your free gift of your Son. That instead they would receive the Lord Jesus and go away with great joy and find their satisfaction and complete salvation in the Lord Jesus. Father, again, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his willingness to come. We're thankful that he said, "Here am I, send me," when we had such a great need for someone to take our place and die in our stead and pay the penalty that we so richly deserved there at Calvary. We thank you that on the cross that our sins were fully paid for so that we might never judgment know, that we can stand before you righteous and justified because your Son fully satisfied the just demands of the law. So, Father, we would come to you again in great joy and rejoicing in our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.